Mount Cheehaw is my Everest, and the Coosa is my now. Alabama's where I was born and raised, and I think I'll stay a while. We sing about sweet home and Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. You want to respond to anything I have discussed this morning. Joining us now on the program, we're very pleased to be joined by State Representative Chip Brown. Y'all know him here locally, South Mobile County. Chip, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. It's great to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time. Certainly do appreciate it, as always. Let's get right into first off, I ask you this, we watched what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin on Sunday night. And then we come to find out, well, this guy was out on bail. He was, the person of interest or whatever they are deeming him to be right now. Maybe he's a suspect eventually or already is. I don't know. But, a gentleman like this was out on bail, speeding is allegedly an SUV through a parade route and, all kinds of questions there. What's going on with the justice system now? It's pivoted to that discussion. But it got me thinking, here in Alabama, Anaya's Law, you played a big role in that. I mean, you were a sponsor of that bill, and I know it's still got it's got to go on the ballot, and we have to have the opportunity to vote on it, etc. But had that law been in place in a place like Wisconsin, what might that have done? What might that have changed?
Well, it could have kept him off the street. One of the problems they have in Milwaukee County is that the district attorney up there is a George Soros district attorney. I mean, his campaign, there's several of them, one in St. Louis, one in L.A., San Francisco, these bigger cities, that radical left, George Soros, they pumped money into those campaigns. And then we saw it last year, in 2020 with the riots, they don't hold people. They push for things like in New York where you have cashless bail and, people come in, they get right back out on the street. And so in Milwaukee County, I mean, you go back and look, the DA there, he grants bond, he grants bail to these people, and the bonds are always low. I mean, $1,000 or lower for serious violent crimes. And, a law like Anaya's Law would have been in place there, they could have held him without bond. And what Anaya's Law does is that right now in Alabama, you can only hold someone technically if they are charged with capital murder. And this broadens the scope to violent Class A felonies, which would be your kidnapping, rape, violent domestic abuse, sexual torture, even burglary, arson, robbery, terrorism, aggravated child abuse. And this individual in particular, just a few days ago, he ran over his girlfriend at a gas station, and that's a violent domestic abuse right there. I mean, you read the police report, when they went to the scene, he hit her, knocked her cell phone out, and then he got in his car, drove off, and then came back and ran over. And the police report states that she had tire tracks across her pants when he ran over. But rather than holding this guy, they let him out on a $1,000 bond, and then, of course, he went and committed the horrific crime that we saw on Sunday. And if Anaya's Law passes in Alabama, what it would do in an incident like that, because of that violent domestic abuse and because of his history. I mean, this guy has a criminal record that dates back into the 90s, and it's for a lot of violent crimes. I mean, he was charged with strangling someone and did 11 months in prison for that. Has a history of domestic violence. He he's a convicted sex offender in Nevada and actually has a warrant still in Nevada from 2016 But what it would do in Alabama, if someone like this came before court in Alabama, the district attorney could look at that and say, hey, we need to keep this guy off the street. He's shown he's a violent offender. He's going to repeat again, and can go to the judge, request an evidentiary hearing, and show evidence to show probable cause of why he's either going to, he's an imminent threat to the community himself, or is a flight risk, and can request to be held without bond. They have a little short hearing, and the judge makes a ruling, either grants bond or he denies bond. And what that does, it allows that defendant to still have his due process and, you know, not violate his Eighth Amendment rights of the Constitution. But at the same time, it allows situations like in Mobile where, you know, now we've got, 130 people that are, you know, charged with murder that are walking the street. I mean, it would prevent things like that. It would keep violent criminals off the street. And of course, it's named after Anaya Blanchard, who the individual that was charged with that crime was out for an attempted murder, kidnapping, and robbery of a 77-year-old man, but yet he was allowed to get out on bond. And that's just not right. That's not what we need in Alabama. We need to try to work to keep our people safe and keep dangerous predators behind bars.
Well, I tell you what's fascinating is if you look around the country nationally, and I don't necessarily think this is a trend per se, but there is a push nationally, cashless bail, that these criminal justice reform measures, where they seem antithetical to what we're doing here in Alabama. We, you know, a lot of times we complain, muscle to right, and that you know, Alabama is this red state, and sometimes it doesn't really act like a red state. It acts more something different, not a blue state by any means. But on this issue, it does seem though that on these criminal justice measures that we do seem to be heading in a good direction, to something that is more responsible, something that is more conservative, if you would, than what you see a lot of places trying to do around the country.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, you know, we always have to keep that eye open, because with Anaya's law, there was an effort by some groups in Alabama to have my bill, Anaya's law, more or less not come up, and instead be sent to a study commission of the Alabama Law Institute, and to come up with a overall bail reform effort in Alabama. And what that means is things like cashless bail and watering down our procedures to where it makes it easier for dangerous criminals to get out. And so, you know, we fought that off, but that was a serious effort. I mean, they made a real pitch to try to do that in the legislature this last session. But fortunately we were able to fight that off and pass the bill, and it'll be on the ballot next November, because things like cashless bail, okay, they sound good on paper if you're thinking, oh, well, you know, everyone, you know, under an Eighth Amendment issue, everybody has the right to bail and not excessive bail. But what you're doing is it's just a revolving door. You're just people sign in and they go out. And then even if people that are charged with violent crimes, they're doing things like that, releasing them on $1,000. And that's, how are you, you're putting the rights of criminals ahead of the rights of the law abiding citizens of the state or the city. And that's the wrong way to look at that. I mean, our job, I believe, as elected officials are to try to work to create laws that keep our citizens safe. And I think you're right on that we're in Alabama, we're going that way. And a lot of areas in the country are going the opposite way, where they are coddling criminals, letting them out, and we're seeing the results of it. I mean, we're seeing murder rates go through the roof. across the country, and not just murder, but crime in general. It's just, it's insane of what's happening.
Well, here's the thing, Representative, that I'm, you know, you look at the trend nationally and you have to be a little worried, but you expect places like Alabama and other red states to lead the way, pushing back and saying, no, we need to be going in that opposite direction. And at least on this, we seem to be, that seems to be where our operating procedure here. But back to that point, you know, when you say cashless bail sounds good, or who does that sound good to? Who are these people pushing this idea?
Well, it's the same groups that you know have funds to create funds to bail people out in the riots. You know, people like Kamala Harris was a big supporter of organizations that, you know, they provided bail money. You go and you riot in a city, destroy the city, and then here's this group ready to bail you out. And you're right back out on the street, go right back at it. It's those groups that, in my opinion, seek to destroy this country. They want to create a rip in the very fabric that's made this country special and unique. And those are the individuals that are pushing to water down our bail laws. They're the people that want to put the rights of criminals ahead of the rights of law-abiding citizens, and that's who we're facing against. That's who we're up against, and we have to go the other way. I think we have to look at, you have to balance the rights of individuals, and I think Anaya's law, we did a good job of that, in my opinion, in that if you look at the offense, it's not an automatic, okay, you're charged with this, with the exception of capital murder. But if you're charged with, you know, any of these violent Class A felonies, it's not an automatic denial of bail. What it is it still allows that individual to say why he should be granted bail. But it allows the state, through the district attorney, to make the case, look, this guy is a threat to the community, and this is why we have to keep him off the street. And it goes a long way. I mean, if you know, this bill was supported by all your major mayors, all your law enforcement across the state. When we would have hearings, you know, like people like Jimmy Barber, who from the very beginning was involved in this legislation. I mean, the city of Mobile, I will say, Chief Batiste, Chief Barber, you know, they were intricately involved in this, passing this, and they would come up and go to hearings, and law enforcement from all over the state would, and it's because they see it. They're on the, you know, they're out there every day, and they see these guys that shouldn't be on the street, but, and they know, the sad thing is, they know if this guy gets out on the street, he's immediately gonna commit a crime. And they can't keep him. So he's back out on the street, and then there's another shooting, another violent crime, and, you know, they're like, well, we told you, but there's nothing they can do. And it gives judges, you know, there was the perception, too, that judges were against Anaya's law because they didn't want to have to go through the extra process of having a hearing. But that's not true at all. I heard from judges all across the state that were like, thank you for doing this, because it allows us now, we see these people, and we see them come in the courtroom, and we look at them, and we're like, dang, I need to hold this guy, but I can't. I got to let him out, you know? And there's only a certain limit that they can do on setting the bail. And so I think we are headed in the right direction, and I'm hopefully, you know, in November, the people of Alabama will vote yes on Anaya's law and will pass it and make it law.
Joined by State Representative Chip Brown here on the program. How much of this is do you hear any of this that, as it stands right now, a lot of these county jails, a lot of these metro jails are already maybe full or crowded, and this is just another mouth to feed. This is just another inmate to take care of, and we're backed up because the state's not taking its share of these inmates. Does that, you know, not that it should, but when we talk about Anaya's law or anything else of keeping these guys kind of, you know, under wraps for the time being, does that come into play?
Well, there was a lot of discussion about that. I mean, you know, particularly from the County Commission Association about the extra costs, because there will be an extra cost of having to hold individuals. You know, a lot of this, the backups in jail were COVID related, and we're still not really back to full speed with the amount of jury trials. And, you know, that's being addressed, and a lot of that has to do with funding from the Administrative Office of Courts, and not, in my opinion, not allowing the proper amount of funding to these districts like the Southern District here in Mobile. But when you look at the numbers, and we broke all that down, I can't give you an actual number off the top of my head, but when we look at those numbers, you're really talking about the worst of the worst here. You know, it's not a blanket approach where we're going to have a massive amount of criminals. We're really talking about the worst people that need to be off the streets no matter what the cost is. And as far as the overcrowding side, you know, we had a special session recently on prisons that we are building two new prisons, and we're heading in the right direction there. And so hopefully on the overcrowding issue, that'll start easing up over the next few years. But it is an issue. But when you look at the numbers, I think that you look at the numbers of the people that will be impacted by an ICE law. You know, you really are looking at the worst of the worst. So that whittles that down.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very, very good to come on. And let's talk again soon.
Hey, sounds great, Jeff. You have a happy Thanksgiving, and all your listeners have a happy Thanksgiving.
You do the same, man. Thanks for coming on. That was State Representative Chip Brown there on the line with us. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065. There ain't nobody looking back again. Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.